Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast from the haunted attraction haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And if we sound a little different this week, it's because we're on a slightly different setup.
We're on a field trip.
We're on a field trip. We went to the Wild Wonders. Technically, I think this is 7th Ward, right?
It's part of 7th Ward, and also Esplanade Ridge
Esplanade Ridge.
Just on the other side of Treme.
I should extend my pinky as I say that. We are seeing a friend of ours and someone I hope you guys get to know over the next hour, Elizabeth Zibelich of Crafty Little Devil. It's I-L-L-I-L Devil. I knew I was going to flounder that. Devil. And we're going to be speaking with you about your experiences haunting. This is great. I'm very excited about this.
Actually, it was fun.
So, I guess, and by the way, no conference reminders this week. We don't do conference reminders on interview episodes. We don't make our poor guests sit there for 10 minutes while we do the reminders.
Right.
It's kind of rude. Basically, replay last week, subtract Trans World, you're good.
Yeah.
All right, anyways. So, tell us a little bit about yourself and about Crafty Little Devil. Let's get started with that.
Well, I am a born and raised New Orleanian. My name is Elizabeth. If you hadn't caught that earlier. I own a business called Crafty Little Devil. And mostly what I do is costume design, headpiece making, hat making. I'm a full milliner, which is ladies' hat making. But I also dabble in some makeup and other various crafty items. So it's kind of a blanket name for the business because I didn't want to just say headpieces or sewing, or I wanted to be able to incorporate all sorts of things. Like I said, born and raised here in New Orleans, lived here all my life. I love it. Don't want to change that in any way. And a great place to be if you're building costumes and headpieces and such.
It's a bit definitely. Like how there's only a couple towns in the world where a trombonist can hope to make a good living.
Yeah.
There's only a couple towns in the world where a headpiece maker
it's true.
Can hope to make a good living.
So let's see. I've been a crafty person all my life. I've been a maker all of my life. Mm-hmm. Had various jobs aside from that because, we all got to make some money sometime.
Yeah.
But just about 5 years ago, I decided I really wanted to take the chance on making my business happen. At the time, I was a tour guide, and unfortunately, I got into an accident where, while I was crossing the street, I was hit by a Ford F-250.
Oh.
It was pretty miserable.
The F-150 should have been fine. But it was the F-250 part that was bad.
Well, it did, in fact, break my back at the time. And 2 years of being laid up, I then had to start recovery after that. And so the last 4 years have really been about recovery. But also, it gave me an opportunity to really lay out what I wanted to do with my business and make an actual go of it.
Yeah.
So here I am trying to make it work.
Well, that's very nice. And we've been following your success recently. It's been blowing up.
It's been a little crazy.
I know.
Mardi Gras was wild. I think that's the best term for it.
Yeah.
Over Mardi Gras, I did a crown and a scepter for Lois Andrews Nelson for mm-hmm. Crew Delusion. She is otherwise known as Trombone Shorty's mama, but she is one of the original Baby Dolls, which is a dance marching crew here in New Orleans in the African American community, and it's so rooted in history here.
Right.
My other big commissions this year, one was for Fatsy Klein, a local drag queen, who was performing in the crew of Armenius Ball, one of the big game Mardi Gras crews, I believe the oldest, actually. And his dress, and I did his dress, and then the
it
big portion
fabulous.
Of the costume, he does.
Yeah.
But he won the drag category for the Bourbon Street Awards, which is a huge costume competition.
Right.
And I was also hired by Muses this year to create the crown for their honorary muse, Patricia Clarkson. So it was really very much a roller coaster for Mardi Gras this year. And I'm going right back into it. There's been some really great reception from all of that and getting phone calls.
No. Well, looking around your lovely abode here, see all sorts of spooky things.
Yep.
So have you been into Halloween and haunting for very long? Oh, God,
since I was... I've been into Halloween since I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
I just loved the spooky atmosphere of it and, you know, the idea of the ghosts come out on that night. And it's just such a fun feeling.
Right.
And the air at that point is crisp and, you know... Yeah. You're feeling good, especially after New Orleans summers.
Sometimes crisp.
Well, sometimes crisp.
This is New Orleans, let's be honest. Yeah. Sometimes it's muggy as all hell.
That's true. Yeah. Even in December, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, no kidding.
What was up with this winter?
Oh, man. But the winter before, it was absolutely insane. Yeah. Like, it was so cold last winter.
I know.
But then this winter was warm.
Yeah, for us. Elsewhere in the country, apparently.
Yeah, there were big problems elsewhere in the country. I would get mailbox watch from a friend of mine in Rochester, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And as the snow would pile up, he would show me the levels, send a picture of the levels where the mailbox was. And at some point, there was no mailbox there.
And meanwhile, do the same area, shit level of Mardi Gras beads that were...
You know, we've definitely seen some people use Mardi Gras beads to fill those deep, deep potholes in the city.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
there are photos of that.
I've always enjoyed a little bit of the spooky side, especially being from New Orleans, born and raised. I mean, we're surrounded by ghosts and we're surrounded by voodoo and we're surrounded by all of those spooky things. So I think being from here, really, it's kind of ingrained in us.
Yeah.
You know, one of my all-time favorite movies was, you know, the musical version of Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
It's an absolute favorite. You know, the... score for that play, the soundtrack, whatever you want to refer it as, you know, that 1960s Motown vibe, I've always really appreciated as well. So it really does boil down to probably my top favorite movie ever.
Cool.
But aside from that, you know, I have loved the spooky. It was why I was drawn to being a tour guide and being out in my city. And I really, really enjoyed doing that.
Yeah.
It was a great experience to do. So over the years, I've collected things that are spooky here and there. I've taken some trips. I went and stayed at the Myrtles Plantation.
Yes.
I also stayed at the Hawthorne Hotel in Salem. Cool. So I've done those kinds of things as well.
And you also went to the Krampus Festival overseas, right?
I did. I actually started a mini parade here. I guess it's 4 or 5 years ago now, which was Krampus Gras. And we did our first little parade and had some bands play, and it was a really great time. I had people either be a Krampus or a naughty child.
Right.
And because, as we were saying, the weather in New Orleans is so wishy-washy.
Yes.
I did that mostly because, and the same reason, we ended up being on a fire engine riding around town instead of doing a full-on parade, because if you're wearing fur and you're trying to march, I wasn't willing to risk my members' health and safety to having heat stroke.
Yeah.
So, you know, the friends that helped me with all of that, we're talking about doing it again either this year or the next and trying to figure out how we want to approach it.
Cool.
But within that, I actually did go to Graz, Austria, for the largest Krampus procession in Austria.
Right. And if you guys have probably seen this shared on Haunters Hangout and things, the video of this parade, whenever you see the giant Krampuses and the really scary ones on parade, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. For those that might not know, Krampus is the Christmas demon.
Yes.
In European tradition, the St. Nicholas's Day is December 6th. Well, Krampusnacht is December 5th. Mm-hmm. So what happens is Krampus comes in, either takes all the naughty children in his sack and takes them away, or is switching them, with his birch branches, And that way the children left over are the good children, and they're the ones who get the oranges in the shoes from St. Nicholas, which is where the tradition of having an orange in your stocking came from.
Oh, that's very interesting.
The interesting thing about Krampus in Austria and all over Europe is that they hand carve their own masks. All of those masks that you see are all wooden, and the detailing in them is incredible. And there are different, I want to say, gangs of Krampus. Krampi? Is that,
I think it's probably Krampus is the plural of Krampus.
I would think so. Krampi is actually really fun too, but there are these gangs of them from all over, and they descend upon all of these different towns to parade.
So they like each have their own jackets. Cruise.
Yeah, they have their own jackets and their own logos. And, you know, walking around before the procession happened, you would see them in different colors and all around the city and walking around with their stuff on their back. And it was a really incredible thing to watch them all convene into this one place. What's so incredible about it that, you know, you could almost not get away with in the States, is they will drag pots of fire. They will have firecrackers. They will have people blowing fire throughout the street. And, you know, it was incredible to see because, you know, we have so many laws about fire safety, and especially in New Orleans where the houses are so close together, it would go up like tinder.
Yes.
But they also would grab children from their parents, run around with them for a second, and then bring them back. Which, again, hard to believe that that's allowed. And so, yeah, I had started this thing here. I wanted to sort of, you know, help bring it to New Orleans. And through that, I met different Krampus groups from all over the country. Kel McBride from Bloomington, Indiana, she has been doing this for, I want to say, 14 years. That's a, you know,
that's a pretty long
time. She really started to introduce it to the U.S., and I think it's great. You know, keep a little fear in Christmas.
Yes, exactly.
Well, so that raises the question, though, of how long have you been involved with haunted houses in particular?
You know, this was my first year being involved in a haunt.
I just wanted to get you to say it, not me say it.
This was my first year involved with a haunt.
Yeah.
My first haunt experience when I was eight was with Sheriff Odie's Haunted House, which used to be in City Park.
Right.
And I was terrified. I cried the entire way. But as I grew older, I really came to appreciate it. And, you know, I went through some schooling for theater, and you know, it became about the thrill of the jump scare and also seeing the sets that people come up with and the costumes and the, I mean, it's really incredible what some of them come up with.
Right.
This year I did get to go to 13th Gate, which is always incredible to me.
Yes.
They've got some aerial things going on in there that I'm just enamored by. I also went to the new New Orleans Nightmare.
Right.
That was brand new this year. But this year I worked with the Haunted Mortuary, which is on Canal Street. I went in and started being part of the makeup team. That was hosted or led by Bill. You can find him on Instagram at Bill_FX. He's got some really incredible work. You know, I had some experience in makeup, but I learned so much from him and the rest of the team while I was there. You'd go in every night. We would have to be there about 5:30. You'd be there about 3, maybe 4 hours just before everything starts. You know, you've got to get everybody ready. And the cast would go get into their costumes. They'd come down to us and we'd start putting them in makeup. Some nights as fast as you could. Other nights, you know, the house is a little slim. Takes you less time, but overall, you know, you're putting on prosthetics for a lot of people, and you know, if they have masks on, you're blacking out eyes. You know, there's all these details that you want to make sure that you get. So like I said, I learned a lot from the team to finesse some of the gorier details over this.
So what was the hardest part about doing this without having this kind of experience before?
Putting on prosthetics is not particularly easy.
No.
if you really want to get a fine finish, it does take time.
Mm-hmm.
I also learned the beauty of stippling and, you know, using brushes in order to get a different texture.
Right.
Instead of just a flat color.
Yeah.
And, you know, using different tones and what types of alcohol-based makeup to use, mm-hmm. what some of the best companies were to use with that. But I think, you know, doing prosthetics, it's fun, but trying to do it fast when you are not experienced in it can be a little daunting.
Yeah.
I did have the opportunity one of the nights that I was there to actually be in the cast. They needed a fill-in. So, and even though I had had gallbladder surgery just like 3 days before, mm-hmm. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it because I'd never had the experience.
Right.
And, you know, Lance, who is the, I guess he's managing the mortuary at night. He was like, great, let's do it. And they made sure I was located up in the seance room, which is a very spooky room and notoriously actually haunted.
Mm-hmm.
He made sure that I had somewhere to sit, that I would, Kenny, who was the floor captain, make sure everything is going okay. And if you have any problems, he was who I would go to. Kenny made sure that I was well taken care of. He would make sure that I had breaks and offer me water, whatever I needed.
Yeah.
So the crew over there really made sure that I and everybody else is taken care of. It was quite an experience.
Say, did you enjoy it?
I had a great time. What I think is really funny is that in a haunt, you can say things that you could never, ever say in real life.
Yeah.
Like, you can threaten people, and they have paid you to do that.
Yes. Exactly.
Like, you can tell them that they are a terrible person.
Yeah, basically, they pay you to insult them, lie to them, and threaten
them. Oh, yeah. And it's fascinating to see...
And trick them and deceive them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's your job.
Yeah.
Exactly. It is your job.
You're supposed to be horrible. It's basically like going to Dick's Last Resort or something.
Yeah, man. I think one of my... You know, and it certainly can be dangerous because you scare somebody in just the right way and you are in close proximity. I had one guy, middle-aged. I kind of went behind him and just kind of did a boo in his ear, and he whipped around and hit me in the chest with his arm. But it was also really fun to see, like, grown men fall on the floor when you jump out at them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, full-on grown men who are trying to be all, like, tough, and then suddenly you spook them, and they're on the floor.
It's always the tough guys.
Yeah.
It's always the tough guys. That's like
always the tough guys.
The scaredy cats, you know, they go in scared. They kind of stay at that amped level.
Oh, yeah.
They're always there. But the tough guys, I'm not afraid of anything.
I think one of my favorite moves was just, you know, I was essentially in a nurse's jacket, mm-hmm. and I was standing in the corner of this kind of octagonal-shaped room.
Right.
Sort of near a white door so that they couldn't quite realize that I was not part of that.
Right.
And I would wait for them to come around that corner and just turn while they were looking at something else on the other side. And then they'd turn back and that's when I would get them. It was one of my favorites. yeah, it was just a lot of fun. And by the end of the night, while exhausted, it was also a bit of a stress reliever.
Yeah.
Because you can say anything that you want and you have just exercised for, you know, 6 to 8 to 12 hours, you know, so you've just burned off a lot of adrenaline. Yeah. I think I slept incredibly well that night. Yeah. Better than I had in a while.
Morning, it's like, I need a beer and a nap. Let's go.
That's pretty much how I was feeling. I, you know, wanted to sit down for a second, chat with everybody else before I headed home. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
And that's one of the
good things. Hot shower and then go to bed.
Yeah. Sometimes the shower happens. Sometimes it does.
Yeah, you know.
Sometimes you fall asleep in the shower and that's really awkward.
That's really bad.
That's one of the things, you know, that people don't realize is how exhausted.
It's exhausting.
It is.
You know, and if it's cold out, they've got the heat on because, you know, it's cold.
Yeah.
So, you know, you are running around and sweating in a heated environment.
Right.
Sometimes they don't, you know, I don't know about anywhere else, but like sometimes you do have the air conditioner on and, you know, there's lots of people still coming through and it's still hot in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, heat certainly affects how you feel towards the end of it and your exhaustion level, which is why it was so important that we had a chance to have breaks and have water. And,
right.
you know, like I said, the team over there, you know, management and owner and all that, they really took good care of us throughout the night.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Back on the makeup issue for a minute.
Sure.
What were some of the things you had to learn about doing this quickly? Like, you've had experience with makeup, but haunt makeup is a whole other world.
It's real fast.
What were some of the first things you picked up in terms of trying to do this quick and getting people churned out?
Well, I did learn how to use an airbrush. That was a really exciting new skill.
Yeah.
it can sometimes be tricky, but it really was a valuable, valuable tool.
I can imagine.
Because then on top of it, you can then, you know, put your stippling and whatever other colors you need to on top of it. And it adheres so well and so quickly, especially when you're trying to pale out arms, chest, face, maybe a portion of back.
Oh, that's when you get the Wagner power painter. You don't get an airbrush.
That's pretty much how it felt a lot of times. You know, it was a valuable tool for me to learn. And just, again, what colors work best for bruising? What colors work best for a zombie bite?
Right.
What colors, because there's all different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
There's a brand, European makeup, I believe. And they have some incredible gory shades of palette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fresh blood, dried blood, putrid.
Yes.
Like, I think those are some of the vein.
Yeah.
There's some really great names.
That sounds like hot stuff.
And mostly where I pick up my makeup is a local company as well called Last Looks. And they carry all different brands. And the guys over there do a lot of film work as well. And they're so knowledgeable, and you can go in and say, this is what I'm trying to do, and they can help you. So I think it's also really important to have those resources around town.
Right.
Because if you're a not, you know, like if you're just beginning with this.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't know how to start. then, you know, somebody like that can really explain to you, okay, this is what you would use.
Right.
I feel really fortunate that Bill was such a great teacher as far as what we needed to know. We actually all got together one night before the season even started, and he showed us some tricks as to how to make it go faster and how to use a blending brush.
That's a
and
really
how to...
great suggestion there for any makeup team.
Yeah, man, having one night where you all get together and, you know,
like a week before.
Yeah, exactly. You may not have ever met the other people that
right.
you're working with, so it gives you a chance to bond. And, you know, my friend Rosemary, who was on the team, she and I put a prosthetics on our arms to each other. Like I did one for
yes.
her and she did one for me. And it was a great way to get to know the other people within the group.
Okay.
So how many people would you make up in a night?
It depended on the night, but I think we had upwards of like 30 people that four or five of us had to do. So you're doing at least five or six mm-hmm. on some nights. And some of them are quicker than others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always had one. There was one guy who, he was the one clown in the haunt this year. And I always mm-hmm. had the clown,
yeah.
which I had fun with because, you know, I'm not terrified of clowns, but clowns are still creepy.
Yeah.
And we always did
clown in the mortuary.
Yeah, there was.
He was in more of a den scene.
He had his head.
He always had the pigtails.
He had the pigtails.
Yep.
Okay.
Because we talked
more
about that after we got yep. out of our tour.
Yes.
Yes.
He was in the, like, a den area just before
yeah.
you got to the
yeah.
very tall guy in the,
yeah.
In
fact, she
like,
did
Frankenstein
his makeup
area.
I remember the tall guy
yeah.
very well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I did
you
his makeup. We
that.
All, you know, we all, you don't, you usually don't have the same people over and over and over again.
Right.
That was going to be my next question, was did you do the same people?
No, it's pretty much whoever's in line, or
so
if there's somebody who is more visible, Bill would take care of that,
mm-hmm.
while
right.
the rest of us are
so
doing
like
some other
your front
stuff.
Of house crew would be done probably by Bill. People are going to be hanging out with the
sure.
customers for a long period
yeah,
of time.
Yeah, absolutely. The girls in the front who I
forgot her name already.
I would love, like, that job. I can't even imagine how much fun that is to like scare the people in the line.
Yeah.
And they do it beautifully. I mean, crawling on the ground, climbing up on things.
Well, I don't do that stuff. I'm too old for that.
But Bill would take care of theirs and maybe one or two more specific in the haunt because of the detailing that needed to happen for that.
So how would you keep track then if people are changing each night of who might have a latex allergy or... they were sensitive to certain chemicals.
They would actually we had those questions beforehand, so we actually would know.
Okay.
There were a couple of them who would, like, preface, I can't have this on me. So you already, you know, you have the rapport with each person.
Okay, so they would tell you as they came up.
Yeah, and, you know, you even have people who are maybe on the spectrum who, like, cold bothers them, so you wouldn't use the airbrush on them. You would have to use a different process.
Yeah.
You know... haunting is for everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All ages, anybody, like, if you are interested in it, you should try it.
Yeah.
It is well worth it.
Yeah.
And one of the things, you know, I've learned early on, but about the haunting meaning for everyone, is that there are so many different types of scare actors and scare roles.
Sure.
You can find a place you fit in.
Yep.
Like, one of the best scare roles I ever had was basically just a black morph suit, black mask, and a black room.
Oh, yeah.
You can do some damage that way.
My favorite...
usually to the property.
I don't know that there is a specific character that it's based off of, but the black, almost trench coat, but very fitted, almost military, and this mask that they had on were basically giant teeth. And
I remember that,
whoever the actor was in that was moving so swiftly throughout the maze that is their playground that you would turn around and he was somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that there weren't two of them. You know, it wasn't like them switching up. It was this one person and he would just stand there and kind of glare at you. And, you know, the jump scare is incredible, but there's also something really... beautiful about just being able to stand there and make someone creeped out.
Right.
That's some real, you know, talent to me.
Yeah. Well, and we talk about this on the podcast, the different types of scares, because and what people do in different roles and how you can be, you know, creepy. Do you want to do the creepy lingering, they're going to remember you in their dreams kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or do you want to do the jump startle and it's over really fast?
Yeah.
Kind of.
For me, I'm a little bit of the sort of sneaking up on them.
Yeah.
I mean, it becomes a jump startle because I wait for them to turn around. If I was in a doorway... that they couldn't see me, I'd wait for them to turn around, come up behind them, and just stand there.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would stand there and then whisper something in their ear.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I really enjoyed because they didn't see it coming.
Right.
Without having to, you know, expend all of your energy being wild and crazy. It was enough to make some people fall on the ground and run.
Yeah.
So, how were you approached? Did you approach the mortuary about getting started and doing makeup with them?
I have a couple of friends that work over there, and they let me know that they were looking for some makeup folk. So I went to a meeting that I was invited to and started working.
Awesome.
Yep. And, you know, the haunt community, you start to meet other people... you know, just because you aren't in one house doesn't mean you don't start to meet the people from other houses.
Right.
You know, I've got friends at Dark Hour in Texas who I actually met when I started my Krampus group. Like, we all started banding together of different Krampus groups. And my friend Robert Corey, I'm still friends with him. He works over there as well.
Yeah.
And so at some point I'm supposed to take a little... tour of their facility, which I'd be really excited about.
Yeah.
They're a good group. But yeah, the community, you start to meet different people from different haunts, and I think that's a really nice aspect of it as well. There's community there.
Yeah, there is.
There might be a little competition too, but...
well, but that's the thing is that...
it's friendly competition.
It's friendly competition, but haunts aren't competition for other haunts, mostly. Because it's all the other things you can do. And And I know our listeners are going, not this again.
Because, you know, the competition to your haunt isn't the haunt across town or whatever. It's the concert they could be going to. It's
the party.
The Halloween party they could go to.
Right.
It's the other thing.
There's a thousand other things, especially in this city, all year round.
Yeah.
There's a thousand other things that people can be going to.
Right, exactly.
And so trying to get people in is the competition.
Yeah.
Like, how many did you have tonight?
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you was because you came into the haunt industry later.
Sure.
But with super loaded, awesome amounts of talent looking around your apartment. Totally proving my point. You're the type of person the industry is always looking to recruit and get in there.
Mm-hmm.
How would you recommend the haunt's pitch to people? Like, what would be some of the selling points? Since you seem to have enjoyed it,
sure.
What are the things you enjoyed, and hopefully will keep you coming back next year? And the
well,
after?
Like we were talking about before, there's a place for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you are not, you know, a makeup person or a costume building person or any, you know, set building, you can still find your place in a haunt. Whether that's running the lights or being a, you know, a haunter where, you know, you might have injuries, you can still participate.
Right.
They will help you find a way to participate. Like I said, haunting is for everyone. You know, if that is something that interests you, go out, meet the people who are working at your local haunt. You know, it just say hello to even one of the people who works in the box office, because you never know, they might need somebody one night because somebody called out sick.
Yeah.
So I think it's just about putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen if you just say hello to someone.
Right.
And see what they might need. Offer help.
And in my experience, creative people like haunting as a creative outlet.
Yep.
It's something that you really can't do any other way.
No.
As you said, getting paid to insult within reason, obviously.
Sure.
Let's not go crazy on the insult.
Most haunts have some form of rule about things that you can and cannot say.
Yeah.
And, and there should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think what's so cool about the haunt industry is that, like, you guys have your home haunt,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
is incredible. The home haunters are the ones that I am most impressed by. Because, you know, companies, they have a budget. They have a hell of a budget, usually. And some people, you know, just want to do it for the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could start your own haunt in your garage. You can build that up. And, you know, if your dream is to own your own bigger haunt, that's the way to get started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of tips, this is on a different topic, but it's still, what kind of tips do you think would surprise haunters that they should learn from customers?
And makeup people too, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that you want to wear things that are comfortable.
Yes.
Like,
we're not very good at that.
No, I totally understand that, because the look is the thing.
My costume sucks.
Right.
But it doesn't take much to throw on an old jacket that you can then use a combination of water and paint to distress and make it look old, or rip up pieces of it.
Make it breathe.
Right, exactly. Don't be wearing, like, super heavy costume pieces. It's one of the things I really liked about that lab coat was mm-hmm. I could throw it on over what I was already wearing. It would be distressed, and I was done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can do some easy costuming. Don't overthink it. Think about, like, what the costume might look like. Certainly, if you're doing something very specific, that's a whole other ballgame.
Right.
But in basic haunting, you can create costumes out of pretty much anything.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. really don't overthink it if you're not someone that you're going to be spending a lot of time with.
Sure.
Because, you know, you want to get the concept of your character across.
Yep. You only have essentially 10 to 30 seconds to, like, get them.
And that's one of the reasons why haunts do use archetypes. You know, this is a zombie. This is an evil doctor.
Yeah,
this is
absolutely.
I'm down the line, because that's something we can convey in that microsecond.
Well, and that, again, goes along with makeup. You know, the paling out of your face, putting a little bit of a shadow in your cheekbones, and darkening your eyes with just a bit of shadow, it can be very effective.
Right.
Throw a little blood on it, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that it seems like when I talk to people who do costuming and makeup more professionally and talk to haunters who don't, one of the big differences, costumers seem to focus more on simplicity and effectiveness.
And that's exactly it.
And haunters, a lot of haunters, especially new haunters, it seems, really want to drill down and get the exact look or the exact appearance they're trying to get, mm-hmm. even if it's not important.
Sure. I think, you
it
know,
doesn't aid the effectiveness of the scare of the role.
The simplifying of the costume, you know, I think it's actually kind of important because you only have that 10 to 30 seconds.
Right.
And you want to be able to move in that so that you can give them the best scare that you can give them.
And how long do you have to get into said costume either?
You really don't have a lot of time. They would get there, you know, have to almost immediately put on their costume and come down to makeup.
Right.
So you don't have a lot of that time. Although I will say that once we started putting them in makeup, you could really see the change in demeanor in people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why all of the aspects
changes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even if you're keeping the costume and the makeup kind of simple, you'll start to feel the change of your character once you're in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something we don't talk about a lot is how the costume and especially the makeup, I guess, changes the person wearing it.
Yep, very much so. And it's the same for, you know, theater.
Yeah.
You know, once the actors have tech week where they are putting on their costume and their makeup and they're finally feeling the character, you often see that it's a very different feeling. Mm-hmm. One night you don't have any costumes or makeup. The next tech rehearsal you do. And there are just so many little nuances that weren't there the night before.
Yeah.
Because they're getting into their character.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yep.
Quite literally.
Yeah, it took years for Ellie to get used to you being Bernie. Now she's met Bernie enough times. That's his main character outside.
She still doesn't accept it as me, though.
No.
Well, you know,
a different
some
guy.
Some people, like, it freaks some people out one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. If haunting is not for you, that's
no,
okay,
she,
too.
She is our adult.
Yeah.
She is our on-site adult.
It's important, to have an adult available.
Yeah, deal with any situations that arise that require an adult, deal with any police or fire interaction. Exactly. Just someone
management.
Deal with it. Exactly.
That's one of the things that I really do enjoy when season is starting to come upon us.
Mm-hmm.
I always seek out the television shows that follow different home haunts and just the decorations that other people make and how they made them.
Yeah.
You know, 2-ton depressors, some spray insulation foam and some duct tape and you've got a ghoul. Like, it's impressive.
So is that something that you watch in order to learn things from haunters to bring into your costuming world?
Yeah, I mean, I am always researching different techniques that might not be the traditional techniques because there's so many things that you can create with non-traditional materials and recyclable materials. So I do enjoy watching shows like that to see how they've made things, but also see their passion. The passion for what they're doing is really inspiring. It also gets me into the season again, where it might still be, you know, 90 degrees here the middle of October. So we haven't had that cold snap yet, but starting to feel like, okay, Halloween is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in the middle of summer in New Orleans in our unair-conditioned garage.
Yeah.
Tear down build up and things like that. So
yeah, it's horrible.
So my question is, if it is a hot Halloween, what do you all do about the heat for people coming through? Is there a contingency plan? Is there...
Our haunt is small enough. We do have air conditioning units in the garage.
Okay.
We have small ones. And they are enough to keep it safe.
Good.
Not comfortable, but safe.
No, I mean, that's, you know, safety is the important thing.
Yeah, and each actor area has their own
ice
cooler.
Ice and water,
With drinks.
Ice water drinks and things.
Yeah.
So we do that. And that's...
And the customers are only in for a couple of minutes.
Sure.
They really don't have much of a problem, usually.
Yeah.
if it were a bigger haunt, we would have to be coming up with some kind of serious contingency in the form of probably fans at the very least. But
But some form of mister towards the end.
Granted, some of the customers do get stuck in there a while.
Well, that happens.
I had a friend that used to make a maze in his garage for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And there was definitely one time that I got turned around.
Got it.
So, I take it you're going to be doing this again next year. You're looking forward to
it. Yeah, I would very much like to. I have to see what my personal business has involved at that point. But I would absolutely go back. And, you know, the mortuary haunted house actually started Scout Island Scream Park this year. This was their first year for that. And apparently they had been talking about trying to do that for years. You know, the owner and some of their team had actually... I know Jeff, the owner, had started out at like Chinchuba Haunted House back in the day, and his dad worked for Sheriff Fody's Haunted House. So he's been a haunter for years and years and years. And he realized that, you know, there was such a magic about having a haunted house in City Park. Yeah. Being surrounded by the oak trees that have all the Spanish moss hanging down off of them. It's spooky.
Yeah. Were you able to get out there this year?
I did. I was able to check it out. I had a really good time with that one. The Devil's Island or Devil's Swamp was...
Devil's Swamp tour, I think that's what it was,
pretty terrifying because you're walking on a trail and you can't see anything in front of your face. I'm a little afraid of the dark.
Well, this is a very brightly lit room. I didn't notice that.
Today it is. Some days it is not. I have some, you know, I like the mood lighting and just relaxing at home in the evenings.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I definitely am excited to hear you might be doing this again next year and might be a new inductee into the haunter community.
I would very much like that. I had a great time.
If you go back, are you going to try to do makeup and scare acting or?
I'm not sure yet. I would definitely like to continue doing makeup, but I also really enjoyed doing the scare acting.
Yeah.
You know, that was part of the most fun. Like I said, to come home and feel completely relaxed was like, okay, I can get a good night's sleep tonight.
Scare acting is addicting. It really is.
I think as far as where I'm concerned, it would really deal with scheduling. Whereas being a scare actor, I can schedule a little better with maybe what I have going on. Compared to makeup, where you are there every night, no matter what.
Right.
So, it's all a matter of scheduling, but I definitely intend to be back.
Good deal. Do you have any advice you would give people wanting to get into doing makeup for haunts, or maybe struggling with doing their own makeup?
Practice.
And I guess the airbrush is the new one.
Yeah, that I've actually practiced that since then. Years ago, I wanted to learn makeup and I wanted to learn how to put on eyelashes. And so every weekend for about a year, I would go out and I would put on eyelashes before I left the house. Because it was practice.
Yeah.
You know, sit in your house on a random night and just make yourself up like a zombie or, you know, any of those things.
Right.
Just practice. It's fun. And there's a million different, you know, YouTube tutorials on different aspects. And even though a beauty makeup or, you know, doing all of the contouring might not be what we would do, there are aspects of that that you can learn from to incorporate into horror makeup.
Right.
You know, one of my favorite people who is a mask maker, actually, RJ7 from Monster Kid Masks. His attention to detail is incredible. And even in doing the painting of the masks and seeing the colors that he uses has inspired me in some ways of what color I might want to use on a horror makeup.
Right.
Yeah. And if nothing else, the beauty tips can be useful because you can just do the opposite.
Yep.
If you want to make
use an opposite color.
If you want to make something very uncanny valley, for example, you could blend away from the eye and stuff. Yep.
And, you know, there's also the idea of doing a black and white makeup.
Oh, those are beautiful.
They're beautiful. But you still use the same kind of techniques in a beauty makeup.
Right.
Just the palette is different.
Yeah.
So I guess that's sort of what I'm trying to say is...
Yeah.
Don't discount the beauty makeup tutorials because you can learn some great techniques to get things more finessed, to get a better detail, to make it look more real.
Yeah.
So what was the biggest challenge you had to overcome this year?
I think the blending, which is something that I've been practicing since then. Blending colors, because you don't want to just use one flat color. You might be using the vein color, the bruise color, and the fresh blood color all in one. And then maybe adding a little putrid yellow for, you know, bruising isn't just one color. You have a green, a blue, a purple, a yellow. And sometimes a red.
Please don't bruise yourself to test this.
No, there are plenty of resources.
Palm Weekly is not responsible if you choose to bruise yourself to test this.
Google bruises. Like, there are plenty. Yeah.
That sounds like a much safer.
That's the other recommendation I have is if there's a specific type of injury you want to try as far as a makeup, do your research and just
maybe
Google
don't do it
those.
At work,
yeah, no, they don't really like that. No. But you can certainly do some research as far as different types of injuries to get the colors.
Right.
To learn more what the colors are and what the textures are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us a little bit more. Like I said, we talked a little bit earlier about your shop and the type of work you do. Tell us where we can find you and what all you make and sell and services sure. you provide.
Well, I actually work out of my house. I mostly do custom costumes, headpieces, millinery, and pretty much any other crafty little thing that I can do. The business is Crafty Little Devil. You can find my website at craftylittledevil.com. That's craftylilldevil.com. And you know, you can contact me through that. I do, like I said, hats, headpieces, costumes, pretty much anything that somebody might want. And if I can't do it, I have lots of assistants and teams that I would know that could provide for you. Yeah.
Okay.
And how long have you've been running that since when?
I've kind of done it all my life, but yeah. Only in the last 2 to 5 years have I really been able to focus on doing this.
Okay.
Very cool.
And always learning. Never stop learning.
Any final questions, Crystal?
I can't remember. Were you able to go to HauntCon this year?
I did not. I would have liked to have gone.
Yeah.
Yep. It's on my list, though.
That
I'll
might
get
be
there
the
eventually.
Next step. Next year's the last year for it to be here.
Okay.
For
For the January HauntCon. Yeah. I did go to that one. I'm thinking one of the ones in Texas.
Yeah.
Yes, I did get to go to that. And watching the workshops on like foam and how to work with those things
right.
and the tools for that. And it's actually, it inspired me for some projects that I have in the future planned for.
Yeah, there's
the future.
Some people when they work with foam, I'm like, they're Man, using a hot knife on the foam. I'm like, I need you to do surgery on me next time.
When I used to do theater, I used to have to make fake food and I would use styrofoam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My tip for that, if you are a home haunter and are trying to work with styrofoam and you need to paint it, don't spray paint it. Not until you, like, I would cover it with caulk, and then you can spray paint it. You have to have a base in order to not have it completely melt on you.
Right.
Although sometimes you do want to spray it with something and melt, like, different pieces to get the...
Like hamburger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, bricks don't always... They have broken spots,
right.
So putting a little heat to them or putting, you know, a little spray paint on it first will give you a different texture.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's about all we have for right now.
Okay.
Elizabeth, thank you very much for joining us for the
thank
past
you for
60
including me.
Minutes or so. It's been a lot of fun, a lot learned, and welcome to the Haunter community.
Thank
very
you very much.
You.
Glad to be here.
I hope the community is able to recruit many more people like you, because
yep.
we need all the creative souls we can get.
I will say there are a lot of people who saw me doing this year and are like, I want to do that. So, you know.
You know, I really do think the best recruitment tool for haunting is haunting itself.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I would do it all over again.
It's weird because I was always one of the kids that went to a haunted house when I was little. I was like, I want to do that. I want to be that person.
Yeah, man.
I want to be that. And then one day I was. And then one day I was building that. And
it's amazing how it grows, doesn't it?
Deep. Then one day I'm doing a podcast on that. It feels real crazy.
But that means you found your path. Like, you
yeah.
found the things that you love to do. And it's so important to have hobbies and careers where you are happy doing the things that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. I could not agree more.
Yep.
Well, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
Once again, if you did miss it in the intro because I didn't do the full thing, this has been Haunt Weekly, episode 173. We are at hauntweekly.com. You can find us on Twitter, at Facebook. Both of those are Haunt Weekly. You can also find us at our YouTube channel, tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. All the previous episodes are there for available for easy listening. Neat little playlists and other features there. But also, you can obviously find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Poduniverse, Podwitch. I'm making some of these up. But anyways, wherever you prefer to get your podcast from, I pretty much can guarantee you we're there. So until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next week.